Good morning. It is very good to be here again. So today, I am going to preach based on Moses' calling at the burning bush. So friends and beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, are you living a meaningful life? Now it is almost the end of the year. It's time to think about whether we are living a meaningful life. I believe that most of us want to live a meaningful life. But then what or who gives value to what we do in our daily life? Our hectic and daily lives and undeniable boredom in our routines do not make us reflect on the meaningful life. In thinking about the meaningful life, then, what role does our Sunday worship service play when we stand before the Lord to worship Him? And these are the questions we consider in dealing with our text. Of course, it doesn't mean that I'm going to give all the answers. So in our text, Moses meets the Lord in the burning bush. He had been tending the sheep of his father-in-law when he reached Mountain Horeb, which is also known in the Bible as Mount Sinai. This mountain is also called the Mountain of God, since Moses received the Ten Commandments at this very mountain. And after the Israelites came out of Egypt, the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites at this very mountain. It is also believed that the temple was built here. Hence, it is called the Mountain of the Lord. At this mountain, Moses encounters the Lord Almighty. The angel of the Lord at the burning bush signified the very presence of God Himself. And the ground itself became holy so that Moses had to take off his shoes. This is a turning point in Moses' life, as we can see later in the story. At this mountain, Moses was commissioned to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. A humble shepherd turned into a leader of a nation. In this text, we can observe an important element that is common in God's redemptive history. God's people are given a vocation when they stand before God's presence. This same presence of God enables God's people to carry out God-given tasks despite their weaknesses. So based on our text, we are going to examine the two following points. First, our vocation and the presence of the Lord. Second, our vocation and our humble status. So first, our vocation and the presence of the Lord. What do we mean by the word vocation? In our daily conversation, we might talk about our jobs. But there is a theological implication to the term vocation. It means that we are called by God. As Christians, we understand that we are called to our vocation by God Almighty. Of course, we cannot say that God has called us to do our daily jobs in the same way He called Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. We can change our jobs or vocations. Nevertheless, we believe that God has called us to do the very thing we are doing in our daily life for God's glory. It is God who has placed us, who has placed you in your job for His glory. It means that the true value of our job does not depend on the salary we get from it. Instead, our job is meaningful since God Almighty has called us to do that very specific task. In our text, Moses is called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And keep in mind that Moses' calling or vocation came from his encounter with the Lord. This case sets an example of how God's servants are called to do their God-given tasks. They meet the Lord. They stand before the Lord. There are many examples of this in the Bible, but let us take a look at two important figures in the Old Testament. The first one is the prophet Isaiah. Before his call to serve the Lord as a prophet, Isaiah met the Lord at the temple. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne." Then the prophet related the consequence of meeting the Lord. "Woe to me, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes haven't seen the Lord God Almighty." This awe-inspiring meeting with the Lord prepared Isaiah to take up the task the Lord had planned for him. Then he said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" We can read a similar thing in the case of the prophet Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, we read that the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." These examples show an important element of the calling of God's prophet. They met God Himself. Moses' calling at the burning bush sets a precedent for the vocational calling of the prophets that followed him. Moses met the Lord, And he was given the vocation to lead Israel out of Egypt. So when we think about our Christian vocations, we can also think of it as something beyond the individual. We can call it a group vocation. For example, if you are a policeman or police woman, if you're driving a petrol car, your job is not simply a driver. As a member of the police force, the vocation of your group is to protect the citizens in your community. The point is that God has given and God's people have a group vocation. And this is an important concept to understand in order to grasp the purpose of the Exodus. The Israelites were saved from their slavery not for the sake of improving their lifestyle. They were redeemed and they were called for a specific task. If we use the expressions from the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament, God saved the Israelites to be light and salt in the world. The goal of their deliverance clearly appears when they stood before the Lord at the same Mount of God. In chapter 19 of Exodus, the Israelites encountered the Lord who appeared with a cloud and thunder, and in their group vocation was given to them as God's holy people. The Lord said to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Later on, the Israelites reminded themselves of this calling and this vocation whenever they stood before the Lord at the temple, when they offered the sacrifices, and when they were banned from entering the temple because of their impurity. They were constantly reminded that they were called to be holy people in this world. God had given them a task and a vocation to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. And this has an important lesson for our worship service on Sundays. Friends, as the Israelites stood before the Lord at the Mount Sinai, every Sunday we stand before the Lord in heavenly Jerusalem, as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to God, the judge of all." When we stand before the Lord in this manner, we are to remind ourselves of our group vocation and our calling as God's people. When it comes to our calling, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hence, every Sunday, we need to remind ourselves of the fact that God has chosen us and we belong to God as His holy people. And we are here to glorify God. And the Westminster Shorter Confession says, our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We do not live for our own entertainment and comfort. God has called us out of darkness to proclaim His excellencies in this world. This is our calling, and this is our vocation, to live for God's glory in this world. Second, now, our calling and our weaknesses. It is noteworthy that Moses was tending the sheep when he was called to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. In Exodus, Moses was raised as a prince. He was physically strong too. Yet, God did not call Moses when he was strong and impressive. Instead, when he was old and inconspicuous, God called Moses to face off Pharaoh, the mighty king of Egypt. Moses also realized he is not good enough for his task. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Here we can note an important aspect of our calling as God's people. To carry out His plans in this world, God does not call the strong and the wise. The Apostle Paul also writes, but God chose the foolish things in this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things in this world to shame the strong. This way of God's working teaches us not to rely on our own wisdom and the wisdom of the world. Instead, we follow God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Folks, God did not choose you because you are good. God chose us because we are foolish and we are weak. Hence, we need to rely on God when we carry our tasks. When we rely on God's wisdom, there will be occasions when your non-believing friends or neighbors will find you strange. It can seem strange when you do not live as if money is your only comfort in this world. It can sound strange if you talk about the importance of perseverance during your sufferings. It would be strange if you live your life for the love of your neighbors as Christ taught us. And it is strange to send an 80-year-old man, not a 40-year-old, as the leader of the nation. Yet, this 80-year-old Moses could do what the vibrant young Moses could not do. Moses, at 80 years old, could rely on God's wisdom and God's strength. Moses became aware of his own shortcomings and could rely on God's promise, "I will be with you." In this way, Moses' calling at the burning bush teach us an important lesson to keep in mind. God does not call us as his people because we are strong and wise. Therefore, we ought to humble ourselves. The Christians are the people who know their unworthiness and weaknesses. Like the prophet Jeremiah, we say, Allah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Yet in our weaknesses, we rely on the Lord. God is our strength, and God is our stronghold. As Moses sang after the Exodus, we praise God by saying, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Even though he was weak in many ways, Moses could stand against Pharaoh and his army, since God was his strength. It is the same with us. When we realize that our task is too difficult and the burdens of life are too heavy to carry, keep in mind that God is with us. God knows our weaknesses and shortcomings, yet he is our strength. Friends, are you ready for your job tomorrow to do it with joy? Are you prepared? Do you feel that you are prepared to be good father or good mother for your kids? Are you ready for your task to be light and salt in this world? When we look at ourselves, it is impossible. We are weak. But remember, the Lord is strong. He is mighty in power. With God's help, we will do it. The Lord is the one who began a good work in us, and he is the one who will complete it. Let us give thanks to him. Amen.